sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends in Christ, each week this Lenten season, we have been looking at a different promise or set of promises of God as lenses for viewing our baptisms. We've been talking a lot about baptism, and the font here is front and center during Lent. Looking at the first lessons each week. I've been preaching on the Old Testament lessons. 2 weeks ago, it was the promise that God makes to Noah and to us, never again will I destroy the earth. Last week, it was the gospel according to the Ten Commandments, the promise to the wandering Israelites and to us that God will be our God, and what it looks like to fall under that promise. As such, the growth has been hopefully noticeable around our baptismal font, even and especially in Lent. Greener and greener in this year of focusing on caring for creation also. And this week, we're still in that wilderness, that Lenten wilderness, and the promise is for healing and life. Odd passage from the book of Numbers this week. Odd and frankly disturbing text, isn't it? Snakes bite. Snakes bite, and they're sent by God for the people's complaining. Remember a couple weeks ago with the Noah passage, I talked about this Hebrew concept of shahat, where the punishment fits the crime. And so really the snakes biting is more a reflection of the people's sin and the people's complaining in this text in Numbers. Remember that concept. Snakes bite, and yet, looking to the snake on the pole that Moses hoists up in the wilderness, heals them. When you look to the snake on the pole, you will be healed. It is an odd text, isn't it? The very thing that bites heals. It's like how a vaccine works, kind of. And Jesus connects it all in the gospel lesson today in John chapter 3. Jesus connects it all to the cross. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he says to Nicodemus, late at night, before there was any daylight savings, under the cover of darkness, Jesus says to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who look now to him will live, will be healed. Salvus is healing, salvation, healing life, all connected. All of this, I believe, invites us to think anew about who or what we look to for healing and life. Is there a reason we've relocated the baptismal font front and center and adorned it with greenery in this Lenten season? Could the very thing that drowns us give us breath? Could the sting and bite of discipleship actually give us healing and hope? Friends, if paradox and irony and contradiction is a stumbling block for you, if both and is just too much to hold, then Jesus and his cross become either oversimplified or sentimentalized Or just plain left behind. Nobody wants to follow a loser. And yet, in the world's eyes, that's exactly how this one Jesus looks. Like a snake on a pole. And most will say, you know, that's weird. I'm out. Or recreate Jesus in an image that's much more appealing to them. Deep in Lent, friends. Deep in Lent, I'm wondering if we can say both, that's weird, and then look to Christ still. Stick. It is weird. And we stay. And we live together in faith and continue to ponder this strangeness, this weirdness. A God with both bite and life eternal. The bite, let's remember again, is far more a reflection of us than it is of God. It's a reflection of how far we have fallen away. It's the complaining. And here's a real connection point, I think, to the ancient text. See if this sounds familiar. Verse 4, the people became impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. There's a lot here. Why have you brought us to freedom to die? Would rather go back to slavery and live. Aren't we humans interesting? We don't know what to do with God's amazing grace. What's more familiar is crawling back into the cage. Let me give you just a little illustration, hopefully helpful. This has been always the illustration for me of this, you know, kind of the cage door open for the bird and the bird doesn't want to leave it. In a similar way, I just had this really profound experience my freshman year of college. I was taught to write in parochial schools and I was taught all the rules about writing. And apparently that was obvious because my freshman English professor said, you write like you are chained up, Dan. You're not breaking any rules. You're a good writer, but you write like, like you have been kind of, you know, in some kind of oppressive system. it's okay. And he also taught creative writing, not in that particular class, but he encouraged me to, you know, the cage door is open, Dan, he says, fly free. And I didn't want to go out. I was like, I don't know how to write, you know, with a preposition at the end of the sentence. I won't do it, you know. And then I saw D.H. Lawrence, you know, who writes in all lowercase and it's beautiful poetry. One illustration. Or here's something else. This has happened a handful of times in my life and my ministry. After a sermon that I meant to make about God's overflowing grace, God's love, God's abundance, God's peace, God's calling us into a garden of goodness and justice and hope, joy, somebody comes up and picks out one verse from the day's lessons that is troubling, or that's, quote, all the evidence I need of an angry, punitive, dualistic God who just wants to punish us like Zeus, throwing lightning bolts at us. It is so interesting. What is behind that? What is it? It's like the cage door is open. It's like, yeah, but this is what we know here. You've brought us into the wilderness to die. I mean, I said last week with the Ten Commandments, God didn't give us those commandments to lock us up all over again. But we've treated them like that. So the Ten Commandments are good news to liberate and live life in community, giving worship and trust and praise to God and caring for one another. But we treat them like they're chains all over again. What do you look to for healing and life? Look to the cross. That's right. The instrument of torture is, in fact, life. Look to the tree. Its arms extending in love. Can you see it? Or is it only a sign of torture and oppression? At the same time, to me now, crosses are a sign of empire. Especially when they're up on hills and in prominent places, and Christians insist on being allowed to display their crosses everywhere. I mean, oh, it's meant to be over and against all other symbols and all other empires. That's empire stuff, that kind of thinking. My cross, my land. We Christians carbon copied all that from Rome. That's not the cross I'm talking about. The cross became a sword somehow, but it's really a tree, a life-giving tree. Can you look to the tree of life? On Good Friday, we'll sing it. Behold the life-giving tree. We walk in with this cross. We walk into the sanctuary and we all turn and someone gestures to it, says, "Behold the life-giving tree on which was held the Savior of the world." Can you sense a tree of life here? Where the leaves of the tree, Revelation chapter 22, where the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations? Or is it just a torture, sin, empire, death symbol all over again? Don't you love the contradiction of the people? Then and now, there's no food here, Moses, and we detest this miserable food. Friends, it's right before our eyes. We just don't want to eat it. God's unconditional love and grace is right here for you. Healing and peace, hope and justice, mercy and joy poured out, even in Lent, green, gushing forth, promise after promise. Look to it. Turn back to it in this Lenten season. Stop running away. Stop going after all the other things. Trust it. This cross, this Jesus. Open your hands and receive it. Here is the healing we have been longing for. You know I'm fond of saying, people should come to this church. And not just this church, wherever they can find this. People should come to this church because we've got good stuff here. And it's got nothing to do with us. We just get to be the administrators of God's good stuff, God's grace. Come to church because there's grace here in a world with no grace. We just get to receive it and share it and be nurtured by it and share it. And enjoy it and trust it and share it and look to it week after week and let it send us back out, belly full and ready to serve. This is our God. The cage door is open and we are called to fly free. You are freed in Christ to live, to eat and drink, to splash in the waters of your baptism, to go back and forth from this garden of grace out to serve and love the earth and to love your neighbor in peace and to come back again and receive more and splash more and eat more and struggle more. Look to this one Christ who is lifted up upon the holy and life-giving tree. Thanks be to God for that mercy poured out for you and for all creation this day and always. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
The Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.